screen. I can go.
This phone in this hand. Yeah.
See me right here in the room.
I'm going to go ahead and call this meeting to order at 6:31 p.m. Is there anyone in the audience who would like to address the board regarding any closed session items? Okay, seeing none, we will adjourn to closed session. I'm going to go ahead and call this meeting to order at 7 p.m. And is there anyone in the public that would like to do an invocation to start our meeting? Seeing none, Ms. Beltran is going to go ahead and read a kindness poem for us. And when she gets to her report, there'll be a tie-in.
All right. So let us be kind. This is a wealth that has no measure. This is of heaven and earth the highest treasure. Let us be kind.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Beltran. Mr. Rodriguez, can you lead us in the flag salute? I mean, Mr. Gutierrez, I'm sorry. I am so sorry, Mr. Gutierrez.
Can you please stand for Pledge of Allegiance? Repeat after me. I pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you so much, students. I appreciate that. Ms. Beltran and Mr. Gutierrez, I'm sorry. Thank you. Roll call, please. Here.
Present.
Mrs. Polis?
Here.
Mr. Nicker?
Here.
Ms. Sosa?
Here.
Mr.
Sosa?
Here.
Mr. Here.
Okay, there is no action to report from closed session, so we're going to move on to the hearing session of our meeting, to the board president's report. I'm happy to say that with CSBA, we had our first annual education conference committee meeting, and that went very well. And we're going to take a very different approach for the keynote speaker, so I know everybody would be very happy to hear that. And the nominating committee meeting went very well, and it was very informative. There's some different approaches there, too. Unfortunately, I can't share much because we're bound by we're bound to not repeat anything, but with AEC, when it becomes more definitive, I'll be happy to share with my colleagues. I went to the Family Resource Center. Amazing. And Ms. Poulos, they were so thrilled that you come for the tutoring. They were just so happy to talk about how she comes and she's here with her children. So I went ahead and met with all the staff there. They gave me a tour. And I was very impressed by the work that we're doing and the commitment that our district has to all the students in our district. As a matter of fact, Mr. Travatore was there the day I went. It just happened to work out that way. I also was really pleased to go to our newest assembly member, Blanca Rubio, her swearing in. There were some city officials as well that were there, some elected officials. And she had indicated afterwards any assistance that we need with District of Choice, she's happy to lend a hand. Nice. And it's really good to have an education person in our assembly. She comes, she's a teacher as well as a board member, so I'm really pleased about that, though she's not on any education committees. It seems so long ago since we last got together, but In the Heights was phenomenal. Here's my program. There it is. Amazing. I was so pleased and impressed by the student work. And I attended the very last day, and the director of education for the Pantages was there. Is it in your report?
No.
No, okay. And he spoke to the students, and he is going to recommend that they move forward their production to be considered to do an act on the Pantages Theater. Only, I think, five are selected through Southern California. So they are moving forward and being considered. So that was very, very impressive for us. And you know I love to do the comparisons and say we're better. I went to San Dimas, Fiddler on the Roof. I'm not going to say that we were better than them. What I will say is I'm so glad we're going to think very strategically about our solar panels. Because as nice as it was to be shielded from the rain that Friday night, their gorgeous, gorgeous building is completely covered by solar panels. You cannot see it from the street. So I'm really proud of our board that we're being very strategic about how we do that. I want to give my hats off and congratulations to Edgewood High School. I did a tour with a family that's interested, who's not even anywhere near our district, who's coming from a private school. And the parents were very impressed, and it was a student-led tour. That was my first to have a student on board who was John?
John Pan.
And he got into the University of Hawaii. That's his first choice. So he did a really, really good job. Very pleased. And CSBA is going to bring back the Education Summit. And more details will follow by the next board meeting. Right now we're trying to confirm location, keynote speaker, but I'll go ahead and give dates and on all that information. But I'm really happy that it's going to come back. We are going to keep the focus on school board members and on administration and superintendents. We will not have parents or students this time around. It's going to be a different focus. And then finally, academic decathlon. Oh, that was so fun. I sat with Ms. Knudsen. We cheered for both. We even got Edgewood to cheer for West Covina High School every time they got an award. There was this loud roar from the back of the room from our two tables. I was so pleased. West Covina High School did really well. And the student that got the highest score from West Covina is a sophomore, young lady. So they're going to keep moving up. They got some gold awards and some bronze. Are you covering Edgewood in your report?
A little bit.
I won't touch on the big news. We will have them to reward them. You all know that Edgewood did move on to state. But with our two students, are you talking about our two students,
yes.
Benjamin and Nathaniel? Okay, then I'll leave that to you. Okay, but really good. So, Ms. Knudsen, it was wonderful to have you there. I sat there with Dr. Maddox and Ms. Knudsen. That's it. Do I have any colleagues? I have buttons that I can see if you want to speak. So, Mr. Flowers, go ahead.
Good afternoon. Just wanted to report the Harlem Knights. We went to the Knights. And what a magnificent play it was, West Covina put on. Also, I still got to reiterate on the Harlem Ambassadors we're putting on for April the 5th. When I need to know how many tickets that we want. The tickets are going out. We got 5 from the city council, 5 from the district, 5 some of our principals, Dr. Glass, Dr. Ronnie Liu, our honorable one, Dr. Hinman, and myself as well. You know, us non-basketball players will be out there on the court. And we hope to raise at least $20,000. We have the Beat 106, Power 106 coming out. They'll be there at 4 o'clock that afternoon. And I was able to go by and review the facilities and see how we can set things up. And things are really moving, guys. Things are really moving. And the superintendent always said, you know, and thanks to him, you know, for the board for allowing us to do this. It's all about giving scholarships back to our students. And every dime that we make, we go back scholarships back to our students. So we're hoping to give at least $500 scholarships to the students, the money that we give away. So the more money we raise, the more money we give back to our students. And that's what it's about, you know, sending our students away with some money in their pockets as much as possible. So that's going to be April the 5th. So put it on your calendars. And I should have some tickets coming up pretty soon here next board meeting. I should have my tickets, $20. So come see Mr. Curly Neal, Harlem Globetrotters, Chuck Emin. You know, I know he can move that ball out between his legs behind his back. So it's going to be a fun event. Come laugh with us. It's going to be fun. That's all I have.
Ms. Poulos, I don't see you. Do you want to speak? Okay.
The green light's on, but I didn't put it on. So mine just keeps popping on. I had the opportunity to go to the Garden Gourmet as a parent volunteer and got to actually see it in action and sit through the whole thing. And I've always heard about it, but it's the first time I've actually seen it firsthand where the instructors are working with the students. It's phenomenal. And from all the reports, I knew it was, but seeing it firsthand was unforgettable. And to see how they could keep the students' interest all of that time, and then all of them got to take a vegetable home, and so that night we put it in our salad. So she was really, really excited, and she got seeds that we haven't planted yet, and all the students got different seeds to plant, and they planted seeds that day, and everything that they took home, they grew themselves. So they had their own little box, and that's what they picked and got to bring home. So all of the children were very excited. You were all the board members were invited to the information fair and festival that Parents Pays puts on the last Saturday of April. I just wanted to make the public comment in case anybody in the audience knows of a family that has a child with a special need. They'll have, last year we had 75 vendors And we're expecting more vendors this year where people can just go and see if there's if their child's unique needs, there might be a vendor there that could help them navigate the community, think about housing in the future, or different programs that affect for the very young. There's something for everybody there, and everything's free. There's free hot dogs, cotton candy, popcorn. So for those of you who don't have children with special needs but want to learn more of what's available in our local community, come out and eat for free and find out so you can share it with other families. So I'm hoping to see everybody there the last Sunday of April.
Thank you, Ms. Paulus. Mr. Menades.
Just really quickly, I was able to go to a couple basketball games at both Edgewood and West Covina, and I know there's quite a few winter sports that are starting CIF this week. So for all our CIF athletes and coaches, go get them.
Ms. Shoemaker, I see your green light on. Did you want to speak?
No, it's not automatically. Oh.
Okay, we'll go ahead and move over to the student representative reports. Ms. Beltran.
All right. Good evening, members of the board, Madam President, Dr. Hinman, and community members. So our musicals production of In the Heights was phenomenal. Thank you to all that attended. All the shows did really well, selling out multiple times, and we're really proud of them. Our Lady Bulldog wrestling team competed in CIF, and we had three girls advance to masters. And for boys, Edwin Castillo won league champ, and there was also other people that qualified. And our girls soccer team won league champs this past week, and they play in CIF this Thursday. Boys basketball broke Los Altos' winning streak last week, and they're going to move on to CIF on Thursday, and so will girls. Kindness Week was last week, and it was the biggest ever that West Covina has had. And it was really, there was true sense of joy throughout the campus, and we really had, like, really full participation from, like, all kids from all pockets of campus, and we felt really accomplished in that. And it was just a really great week at our school. And to top it all off, we had winter formal on Saturday, and it was really wonderful. Hearst Ranch was a lovely location, and the students had a great time. And on the weekend as well, dance drill and hip-hop both won first place in their competitions.
Wow.
So we're really proud of them. Happy Valentine's Day. Yeah,
thank you. Thank you, Ms. Beltran. As you saw the tie-in, she did a kindness poem to tie in with Kindness Week. So thank you, Ms. Beltran. Ms. Sosa.
Good evening, board members, district employees, and community members. I'm Cindy Sosa, student board member representing Coronado High School. We're excited to share that our students participated in the Great Kindness Challenge, and we actually extended it for another week. You can view some of our pictures on our school website. We also had our first softball game, and we were victorious over Chaparral High School, 25-4. Our second game will be next week against Sierra High School in Azusa. The leadership class is also excited in the City of West Covina Student Government Day event next, in which we get to shadow some major city leaders. Lastly, we had our monthly assembly for December through January, and we recognized Giselle Vega as Student of the Month. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Sosa. Mr. Gutierrez.
Good evening, board members, Superintendent Hinman, cabinet members, and community. Our city dance took place last Saturday. Sadly, I was unable to attend, but I heard great things, that it was a success and that everyone had a good time. Boys basketball senior night, including our cheer and song team, was last Friday, and boys basketball will be going to CIF playoffs this Friday against Bassett. Also, our two wrestling players will be going to CIF in Temecula this Friday also. Our epic play will be with star performances this week of their play Encountering Shakespeare, starting on February 16th at 7 p.m. They will also have dates throughout the month, and I invite the board and Dr. Hinman to come and see the talent that these Edgewood students have and all the hard work they put into the play. Another note, Edgewood was also invited and will attend the Student Government Day that will be taking place next Tuesday. Five of our students will shadow various individuals that help make our local government function and learn about their individual duties. And finally, we will have the 8th grade visitation on Friday, February 24th. We hope to have all the middle schools from the district come and see Edgewood and hope they like what we have to offer. Thank you.
Thank you. I do have to say, and if you can take it back to your ASBs, your dance, both dances were on Saturday, so I have to say hats off to our students. We saw students from Edgewood and West Covina High at Denny's after your respective dances, and it was so good to see the students greet each other, and there was a lot of fun and joy and interaction, and there was absolutely no competition or, you know, rivals in the house. So if you can pass it along to your ASB, good job on everybody's part. Dr. Hinman, superintendent's report.
Thank you, President Miranda Jimenez. Mr. Seaman.
Well, I shared mine earlier, but with all the changes in the different staffings, we're going to be moving to some recruitment fairs at the local universities, Cal State Fullerton, Cal Poly Pomona, APU, Cal State LA, to try to find some of the best and brightest teachers.
Thank you. Dr. Coghlan.
So I'm glad that our web page is up on there under Measure ES, and at various places we have our application for citizens that would like to be part of our oversight committee for Measure ES. We're accepting applications through February 28th. I want to encourage the community to go online and volunteer and sign up.
Okay. Ms. Knutson.
Dr. Hinman, I got to attend last Wednesday the Gate Elementary Gate Showcase over at Edgewood. It was fun to go in and witness the students put together their little projects. It was a culminating activity. I do want to thank Cheryl Lessiker for pulling that together, and I'm looking forward to the middle school event this week.
Thank you. I have a couple items I'd like to share. First, in the heat of the night, which was phenomenal, but the one takeaway I had is halfway through, I had just a little minor cough. And I thought, didn't want to disturb. And that cough grew into a full 14-day onslaught, and I as sick as I've been in years. So I will never forget that play. but it was really good. In all seriousness, it was phenomenal. I do want to touch on the Citizens Oversight Committee, because not only is it important that our community has an outside confirmation that we're doing our due diligence and spending our funds appropriately. But let me tell you another thing they're going to be able to do, and the reason I bring this up is because you see some additions to our boardroom. And we'll continue to have additions in the public eye, whether it be the boardroom or the foyer. But it's very important that we be able to delineate to the public and say, those were not board funds, because it'll be easy for some in the public to say, oh, look how they're spending their bond money, not board funds, bond funds. Look how they're spending their bond funds. So it might get old at times, but you will hear me often saying, we did not use any bond funds for this project, because it's really important that our community knows that when they aren't. And for the oversight committee to be able to, in a public forum, state when people come to them and, oh, I saw that, you know, new storage shed they put up at the district back in M&O. No, those were not bond funds, because we have a oversight on that. So the other thing was I received a call, and I was invited to speak at the State of the City address. And I got a little byline, State of the City, State of the District address, which is nice, which is March 9th at 8 a.m. And it's a wonderful opportunity for me to share a lot of the things that we've talked about here today and expand upon them and the incredible work we're doing in our district. And I'm looking forward to that, and I would encourage anyone who can go be part of that to participate. Thank you. Hearst Ranch. Just found that. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. I do not have any blue cards in front of me, but is there anyone in the community that would like to address the board? Okay, seeing none, we will go ahead and move on to the business session of our agenda, the agenda and consent items. Is there anybody who would like to add to consent?
Yes.
Ms. Shoemaker.
A4, A5, and B5.
And A4
just nominated as presented.
A5 and B5?
Yes.
Okay. Right.
Did you say A5?
Yes. She said A4, A5,
and B5.
And B5. Is there anybody who is everybody fine with A4? Okay. Is everybody fine with A5? That's a lot of board policies. Okay. Thank you all for calling Dr. Hinman ahead of time then and getting those questions answered. And B5, it's a resolution, so can we put it on consent?
There's been great debate on that.
Okay, thank you. Okay. All right, I think that leaves us. All right, wonderful.
I have something I would like to.
Oh, I'm sorry. To remove from consent?
I just have a really quick question on B3.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we will remove B3 from consent. Okay. A4, A5, and B5. Okay. Who will move the agenda and consent items, adding to consent A4, A5, and B5, and removing from consent B3? Who will move it? Okay. And who will second that? Okay. It has been moved by Mr. Flowers and seconded by Ms. Poulos to approve the agenda, adding to consent A4, A5, B5, removing from consent B3 for the regular meeting of January 24th, 2017. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those against, it carries 5-0. Okay, that moves us to A3. Ms. Poulos.
B3.
I'm sorry, B3. I apologize. B3. Ms. Poulos.
The question I had is they have all of the special ed summer school for special ed K through 7 at Orgewood Elementary. Although Edgewood High School does have 8 through 12. And I was wondering why the students that are going into middle school can't also be at Edgewood, since there's already a program there. That's a big transition for children that are moving into middle school, and it would be a smaller environment for them to be able to be in and get used to. And then I don't know if I want a kindergartner with a seventh grader on the same campus, if they're not normally like that. But my biggest question was, I know, as all of you know, that their special ed is having meetings. And I met a mom who was telling me that her son ended up staying at the RVA campus because he was too afraid to go to Edgewood's class. Now, as a high schooler, he's going to be going over there. But if he would have had that opportunity to go in the summer, it might have been an easier transition while he was in middle school. So,
thank you. Trustee Poulos, I don't know if we have a direct response for that, but I'm going to turn it over to Ms. Knutson, and we'll go from there.
I believe the reason it's that way is simply just it's been past practice, and I'm happy to follow up with our director, Ms. Casado. Oftentimes it has to do with staffing and numbers, but I can't give you a different rationale at this moment, but I just know that that's the format that's been used for the past couple of years. So I'm happy to follow up and get back to you.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah, we will get that to you by week's end.
Mr. Morales has a question, too. Thank you.
I'm glad Ms. Poulos brought this up because I did have a question. How many students participated in, SPED students participated in ESY last year? Do we know the number?
I couldn't give you that number off the top of my head, but again, I can find out for you.
Okay. And when would we have the numbers for this year?
They pretty much have them right now. They're still holding some IEPs, but typically they have a pretty good they have a pretty good idea.
It'd be both years, mm-hmm. This year, last year.
Yeah.
Okay. So for the 2017 extended school year, to approve the 2017 extended school year program as presented, do we have a motion? Who will move it?
Well, if there's or, a, if, what happens if they do decide that they could have it at Edgewood? sixth and seventh graders at Edgewood, and we move this now, would they bring it back?
We could move the facility.
Yeah.
This is primarily the dates, okay. Scheduling, but to move the facility, it would be a notification. We wouldn't need board approval. We would come back and notify you that based on communication discussion we've had, we're going to be placing seventh and eighth grade at Edgewood. And likely we will be bringing that back
like
for discussion.
It looks like the eighth grader is already... they're already having the eighth grade go to the high school
mm-hmm.
because they'll be in ninth grade. But it's the children that are going to be in the middle school for the first year, that would be it.
Fifth and sixth grade.
Yeah. So I will move it with the explanation given, and then I'll expect something by the end of the week.
Yep.
Okay. And the report will come to everybody, correct, Dr. Hinman?
That is correct.
Okay, thank you.
Yes.
Okay. And who will second it? Okay. It has been moved by Ms. Poulos and seconded by Mr. Flowers to approve the 2017 extended school year program as presented with a report by the end of the week to all board members. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Carries 5-0. That takes us to our last item of the agenda. One moment. Okay, to D8, information report, potential district-wide solar projects. Dr. Hinman.
Thank you, President Miranda Jimenez. I want to compliment, obviously, the board, because through discussion, you've really helped me realize that we can't plant A, solar, before we know where our facilities are going B. So that really did make us take a big step back. And then Trustee Shoemaker at the last meeting asked some really good questions, particularly in the area of expense, lease versus buy, and wanted to see some real numbers. Well, I will tell you, I want to commend Dr. Coghlan and Dave Larkin because trying to get real numbers from a vendor prior to a contract is very difficult. They play a certain game. Well, close to, could be between 10 and 40%. So I really want to commend them for not taking that for an answer and continuing to go back and go back and go back. And I think we're going to be able to clear it up a little more tonight, not in totality, but I think we'll be able to give you enough information that we'll feel very comfortable the next time we come back making a recommendation. So with that being said, Dr. Coghlan.
Board President, board members, Dr. Hinman, Cabinet, thank you for bringing this item up here. At past board meetings, we looked at, you want to get solar. How do you acquire it? Do you buy it? Do you lease it? What's the best way to go? So one of the things that we've done is we've kind of looked at past history, and we worked with the vendors to try to get some more, as Dr. Hinman said, some more firm numbers. With our ultimate goal of putting in solar very soon so we can start generating 1.21 gigawatts. Gigawatts, not gigawatts. Gigawatts. I just blew that joke, didn't I?
Because you did. That's okay.
All right.
Just don't get the flux capacitor wrong.
Flux capacitor. Right. I was forced to say that.
That's right.
So one of the things that we know for sure, we know that over the last 40 years, the electric rates, and you just know this from your home, have gone up about 5% a year. Average. They've increased. And we also know that on January 1st of this year, our rates went up 8%. Edison can raise them up to a certain amount. Who knows what they're going to raise the rates. What solar companies like to do is they like to come in and say, you need to put in solar because Edison is going to raise the rates 10% a year. And if you do this now, you're going to save money in the future. Well, in my line of work, I like the known. I don't like the unknown. So what I did was I looked at what if Edison increases, what if the price stays the same for 25 years? What if it goes up 3%? What if it goes up 5%? Because when we're planning a budget, we like to be kind of conservative. We don't want to overestimate our savings. And so the next slide is going to go over that. And we looked at what's the cost of buying it versus leasing it. And it is kind of similar to there's advantages and disadvantages when you buy a car. You could lease a car, you could buy a car. What are the advantages? What are the disadvantages? So what I've provided is a PowerPoint here. Also in front of you are two sheets. I'm not going to go over these in the PowerPoint. This is kind of the backup data. It shows that the system that we are proposing to put in district-wide would be at a cost of about $11.5 million. And one of the nice things about solar is it is a science, and you can say that those panels are going to generate X amount of kilowatt hours. And the nice thing about it with these solar companies is they guarantee that, whether it happens or not. And so that's what we do. We multiply times the current rate or future rates to kind of get us our savings. So when I did that, let's just look at purchase first. If we currently pay about 18 cents per kilowatt hours. And so to purchase this system, we have a couple choices. And the choice that we're going with here is to borrow the money through a QZAB. A QZAB is basically free money. It's very low interest, and it's paid back over, you can pay it back over 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. It's very low interest.
Dr. Coughlin, sorry to interrupt, but since you gave these to us for backup,
yes.
There's three pieces of paper here.
Right.
And the top one represents what?
Right, very good. So the top one represents, let's talk about this. So
and the color code.
This color paper here is if we were to purchase the solar equipment, I have on here that our rate of 18 cents per kilowatt hours would stay the same for 25 years. Highly unlikely. But if it did, after we paid the cost of having to pay back the $12.1 million to build this these structures, we would have a net savings after 25 years of $8.3 million. Now, the next page is if the rates went up 3% a year, which is still very conservative, we would have a net savings of over 25 years of $19.2 million. And you can see in the right column the net savings. Mm-hmm. What happens on here in year 16 is you no longer have a QZAB payment. We'd pay it off in 15 years. And so a huge savings that you would receive. You go from savings, a net savings of $493,000 to $1.3 million. You really get your savings once you've paid back your loan. And then the last one is 5%, which is probably more realistic, would show a net savings of $29.8 million, which is, corresponds with the slide that we have up here. The white paper is through power purchase agreement or leasing it, and did the same thing, 18 cents, escalation of 3%, escalation of 5%. Now, you can see that the numbers are kind of similar when you get in the out years, and even there's not a big difference between buying it and leasing it. You see an asterisk on here. One of the things we talked about at the last time we presented this to the board was that at the end of your lease, much like a car, they come to you and they say, okay, lease is over. Would you like to buy the equipment? One of the problems is that we've seen is we would definitely want to negotiate what we're going to buy that for. And what we found in dealing with vendors is they are not really keen, based on, they say, IRS rules, of putting down what you're going to buy it for. So if the equipment costs $11 million and you are going to buy it back at 40%, you would have to pay them 40% of $11 million, and now you own it. Okay? The problem is we can't pin them down on a number, but I can guarantee you that if we were to do a contract with them and follow this method, we'd want a number, because we don't want them at the end of the day, 20 years from now, saying, you know, that system we put in for $11.5 million, it's now worth $20 million. So you need to pay us that. We don't want to do that. So that's the wild card on leasing. That's the gamble. That's something that, in my line, I like the known better than the unknown. It doesn't mean we're not going to pursue it, because if we can get them to say they're going to let us buy it for 10% of the price, that may, mind you, I said may, be a better option. We don't know that until we actually go down the road and they get a little bit more into the numbers.
That was great. I just want to clarify, because I've been part of the discussion, and again, I want to commend Mr. Larkin and Dr. Coghlan, but on the lease, the $28 million number has subtracted an assumed 40% buyback rate. So if you, when you talk to the contractor, they'll say likely somewhere between 10 and 40% will be the depreciation value of the product, and it will be somewhere in there. Or the estimated value of the equipment, whichever is more. Now, that's the sticker for me, because if in theory all of a sudden the price of electricity soars to 20% on average and we're making $5 million a year, we have a savings of $5 million a year, what's to keep them, and I asked the contractor this, what's to keep them from saying, well, now the value of that equipment is $20 million because you're making so much on it. And I equated it to the house I buy for $20,000, and then 25 years later it's worth $500,000. And he could not tell me that that theoretically couldn't happen. He doesn't believe it will, and they believe 25 years from now the depreciation will be between 10 and 40%, but it's whichever is more value. That's the exact term they use. So if the value of the equipment, which I don't know who determines that, is higher than 40% or 100% or 400%, that's the buyback price, not the price that of the lesser two. So that's one of our bigger concerns.
And in talking to our consultant, Joe Dixon, they can't make you buy it. When your lease is over, you can say, we're done, leave.
Take it.
Take it. Right. Exactly. Take it. However, now whatever the price is, I mean, I guess you would make the deal and say, well, let's look at different solar. Let's look at a different something to use differently. I wish we did have 1.21 gigawatts that we could go into the future and see what this was, but we don't. We know that with the purchase, there's a lot of knowns. I feel very comfortable with a 3% increase in electricity. We've seen it. We know it. Everything else is gravy. The good news is either way, purchase or lease, this is good. It's good for the district. It's cost avoidance. It's a savings for the district. We currently spend about $1.6 million, and you can see just by putting this in, you're going to save, you know, you're going to bring it down to $600,000. Now you have the cost of paying back your loan if you do a loan, or paying back the money if you used your own. But there's a savings here, and the nice thing is it's guaranteed savings. Both of these packages have maintenance packages, to where those costs are already in there, where they will come out, they will maintain them, they will clean them. If there's any electrical problems, even though you own it, you still have a warranty for the time. I believe it was 25 years, Dave,
correct.
Or 20? Yeah, 25 years. So a lot of details still to come with the contract. I mean, we would go over that and use legal, make sure that it was a very tight contract and that the district was protected. But based on what we see here, our recommendation is there's enough savings to recommend coming back at future board meetings and recommending we go proceed with solar. And you don't have to, we also were told, you don't have to make the determination on day one, we're going to buy it, we're going to lease it. Just like when you go to buy a car, you don't have to make that determination until you're ready to drive off the lot. Right. So with that,
Are we ready for questions?
We are ready for questions.
Mr. Flowers has some questions.
Dr. Coghlan, thank you for the presentation. I also have a question. Now, as you drive around the district, drive around the community, you see others. Have you inquired upon other districts about how things are working for them and how they're doing? Have you inquired?
Right. We're in the
hiding their beautiful buildings. That's how it's working for them.
We're in the process of talking to other districts, and because there's different companies, which company did they use? And so Mr. Larkin does that and is in the process of doing that. I don't know. Talked to anyone yet? Talked to a few?
We've got some calls. We've reached out to the mayors.
Right.
Information associated with that.
And you plan on doing these at every school in the district?
So some sites, it's based on availability space. Typically, your secondary schools tend to have more space available parking lots. For your elementary schools, we were talking about shade shelters, wherever it is going to be advantageous to do it. And there's a lot to it with position of the sun, trees, neighbors, where can you put them? So that's the next phase of where we would look at that. And keep in mind that wherever we put them, we will be very mindful about future bond projects and where those would go, not to interfere with those.
Trustee Flowers, there's also a finite amount you can put in. The way I understand it is once you max out your usage, there's no benefit into having additional solar spots. So that's another key factor in where are the best spots for it to go. And while there still may be some other schools left over we could use, there's no benefit to put it in. So obviously, and I agree with Trustee Miranda Jimenez, that location, location, location is going to be really important.
And then again, you said this is for 25 years, they will come out and repair and do whatever maintenance needs to be done on it, correct?
There's maintenance as far as cleaning. Uh-huh. There's also, if there were to ever be any kind of malfunctions with it, the panels, those are under warranty. Yes.
Okay, now after that 25 years, what happens?
So after that 25 years, we still own them. Okay, and we could choose through them to extend our maintenance package if we wanted to. I would like to say that 25 years from now, this is going to be it. Who knows?
And just to clarify, we would only own it if we bought it. If we were leasing it at the end of 25 years, we would have a decision to make.
At the end, when you lease it at the end of year 20, you have to make a choice. Are we going to buy it or are they going to take it away? And if you then buy it at year 20 at some price, we don't know, then you own it. So one thing's for sure, whether you do a lease or whether you purchase it, after year 20, if you're going to keep it on your campuses, you're going to own it. And then you'd have to find a maintenance. They offer those.
So when do you and Dave plan to come back to us and let us know the variance of lease and buy from other communities that you're looking into?
So we can bring that back at future board meetings. We can also provide updates to Dr. Henman, and he can provide those as we get them. You know, what is neighboring districts, what are they doing? Which route did they go? Which company did they use? Why did they use it?
Trustee Flowers, if you don't have a funding stream, if you don't qualify for a QZAB, if you don't have a bond, or if you don't have a reserve, you have no option but to lease. So we're very in a unique situation that we do have the option to purchase if that's what the board decides to do, but we will investigate what other districts have done in the past.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
Ms. Poulos, do you have questions? I can't see your little green button. Oh. I apologize. Do you have questions?
Yes.
Okay, Ms. Poulos.
Just a quick question. So if we were to lease it, we have to make on year 20, even though this goes out 25 years, on year 20, it says lease over purchase. We would have to make the decision to buy it then.
After year 20.
But the maintenance, we may have increased fees because then the maintenance is our responsibility at year 20?
Right. That has not been entered in there. Typically, the maintenance could be $100,000, $140,000. That is included in the payment for the leasing, so that maintenance after year 20 is not on here. So that would have to be entered in.
Okay. Because I noticed if we purchased it each year, it costs more to service the panels, which with anything as it gets older needs some mm-hmm. tender, loving care.
3% is what they applied to that cost.
So then we would have to add that additional fees.
You could transfer that over. You could say that you're looking at in year 21, $179,000. That could be an assumption that you could use,
okay,
which would then decrease your savings.
Your savings.
Okay. That was the only question I had when I was looking at that. Thank you.
Ms. Shoemaker.
The other thing to kind of take into account here is once we own the property, we own the property. I mean, under the lease, we're talking about being stuck in a lease for 20 years. So Tesla is doing amazing things with solar panels through Solar City for houses and things like that. And so the technology is getting better and better. once we own it, we're not stuck in a lease for 20 years when technology may change and we may want to change how we get our services or change out the solar panels. We have the option of selling our existing system and using that to offset the cost of a more efficient system. We will not have that under the lease. We will be stuck with it for 20 years, and it may be fine for 20 years. You will also notice under their numbers that the energy produced is going to go down year by year as the efficiency of the solar panels goes down as they age. So I think we need to keep that in our thoughts as we discuss being in a 20-year lease.
And I can tell you that I have solar, and it goes down about 0.5% a year. And so after 25 years, instead of 100%, you're at about 88% producing what it originally was with efficiency.
And you're spending more on maintenance.
Correct.
Your maintenance costs go up. But again, it's very important to keep those clean and maintained because there is a difference there.
Right. And then my next question is, you mentioned when we're buying back that they'll say, okay, you're generating $5 million in savings, so the equipment is worth that. Wouldn't we write into the contract, no, we're buying equipment. What it generates isn't part of the value of that equipment. We're just purchasing equipment.
Absolutely. I think we've talked, Dr. Hinman and I have talked about this. Unless they can tell us exactly what we're going to pay for that thing, we would be very uncomfortable recommending to the board.
Well, but I'm saying I think there's a fallacy in the thought that if it's generating for us so much money, that somehow increases the value of the equipment. The equipment is 20 years old regardless of what it's generating. And so my thought would be if we decided to go the lease route, we would have some language in the contract that we'll buy it for fair market value of the equipment, not what it generates, but, mm-hmm. you know, if we were to scrap it, what they would get money for on it.
Agree.
You know.
But again, listening to the vendor, that's not how the contract would be written, which I would not advise going into a contract like that. So we would have to take it to our attorney and share that very scenario with them. Because I'm afraid, again, my 20-year-old house is now 20 years old. It's broken down. I've got a water leak. But guess what? The value has quadrupled. Mm-hmm. So according to, you know, the real estate market. So we would not bring, well, hopefully, we would not bring that contract to the board without doing our due diligence with the attorney first.
Correct, because solar panels are not houses.
Right.
Right. Right. It's equipment like a car.
You know, the carpet inside of the house doesn't go up based on the value of the house.
Or the oven or the refrigerator.
And so this is what solar panels are. They're the carpet. They're the oven.
Agreed.
Okay, any other questions from my colleagues? Okay, my questions, thank you. A lot of them were answered in the discussion. You had mentioned, Dr. Hinman, that we would not have the solar panels at every school. We have to look at what's going to give us the biggest bang for our buck, in essence, which has the largest surface area, which has the best position with the sun. So given that, when we have our next updated report, if it turns out, I'm just using this as an example, our biggest bang for the buck might be our high schools, where our high schools are going to be under construction for 2 years. So it doesn't make sense to approve solar at this point if for 2 years we're going to be caught under, well, we need to move this in order to move that, in order to move that. If it turns out it's our elementary schools, obviously we have more mobility there. We can put them up, you know, next year. So I just want to keep that in mind. I don't want us to be presumptuous and rush to purchase or rush to lease if we're still not ready for it. Because the technology, to Ms. Shoemaker's point, could be much better in 2 years. The panels could be smaller. I'm amazed that you can carry them on your backpack now. So it's truly the technology moves so quickly. So I do want us to keep that in mind as we move forward. I'm really curious where the biggest bang for our buck's going to be. I didn't realize that. I was assuming they would be at every school.
We will be starting that conversation. We're very excited about the board meeting on the 28th, okay. The board will actually, for the first time, be looking at some staff-recommended bond expenditures, some facilities. That will be part of the conversation. Okay, so that will be the first entry road down that. Will there be conflicts? Are we going to put solar up? We're talking about building a facility and those kind of questions. We'll answer all the questions, but at least we'll start the dialogue.
Okay,
on the 28th.
Okay, Ms. Shoemaker had some questions, and then Ms. Poulos, I'll go to you.
I have no idea how this works, but I'm going to throw the question out there. Okay, so we have Edgewood. A lot of times there's solar panel farms that, you know, give electric service to a community. Do we have that option here, where if we have the solar panels at Edgewood, can it provide for Orangewood and maybe West Cove in California? Or does it have to be on the site?
Something we need to ask.
They can't do that.
You're talking about putting energy back on the grid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, ultimately what you're asking is recharging the grid system with what we're generating at one facility.
Yeah, so that we can cover all schools without necessarily having solar panels on every school.
They don't do that because what Edison does, because we're the owner of the property, they won't give you the same amount of credit for the generation of power that you generate as you would that you were going to buy it for. So, for example, the reason that they typically design solar systems to operate within 75 to 80% of your actual usage throughout the year is to ensure that we don't want to pay more money to generate more facility, more structures, and in fact over-generate power, in which time we only get 10 cents on the dollar for what we sell back to Edison. So it's kind of a complex scenario with a lot of different components and work there. But ultimately, to answer your question, they don't really do that where you can put it back to the grid.
Yeah, because they don't want to be like Germany, who basically powers their entire country with them.
Right. Okay, Ms. Poulos.
You were talking about the neighbors, and we wanted to be considerate of where we put them because of the neighbors. Is there anything besides aesthetics that worry the neighbors? I understand aesthetics is a big thing, so I'm not saying that's an only, but I wonder if there's additional factors that we look at.
So you're saying that house is there and there's some panels over here and the people in the house say, well, you're generating electricity there and we're living next to it and we don't... That's something that would be addressed.
I didn't know if there was any drawbacks, like glare... that is going into their homes, burning the roof.
Right. At West Covina High, the teacher where the bungalows are, you've got apartments that are above it. So you're right, glare or...
When you were saying we had to take into consideration the neighbors, I understand you don't want... That's not all you want to look at, but is there additional factors that we would look at that may harm the neighbors' homes or...
We would... anything that we would propose, we'd bring here, I would... Is there a public hearing that needs to take place, when
there
you put those? There's not on that one.
Some of them actually put feeder informational.
Let the community know this is what's going on. There may be some people that could come to a board meeting and say something. So I'm sure that could happen. And we'd want to be aware of that.
But there isn't anything that could be potentially harmful.
To my knowledge, and I've asked a lot of questions, I just got back, as you know, from the AXA Superintendent Symposium, and obviously everybody I could talk to about solar I did. I didn't ask that specific question, but in all my investigations and all my time, I've never heard of an environmental or medical potential concern with solar, the clean energy kind of thing. So never heard it. Doesn't mean that it's not out there. I know in the power lines, there are people that believe it's, causes cancer and whatnot, but I've never heard that with solar, but we'll ask the question.
Well, and the reason I didn't even think about it until you brought it up in the presentation that we had to be, which of course we want to be considerate of the neighbors, but I just didn't know if there was something in addition to that that we should be made aware of.
Yep. Okay. Thank you, Dr. Coghlan and Mr. Larkin. We appreciate your diligence on this.
Thank you.
And continuing the discussion with us. Thank you, Dr. Hinman. Okay, that moves us to the information session. The only thing I want to say is thank you to Dr. Coghlan, Dr. Hinman, to our technology department, who blessed us with our – we can actually see the presentations here on either side. We don't have to move out of the way. Thank you, colleagues. It made it so much easier to look at your green buttons. It's a little hard because I know our papers are there. But I want to – Monica, thank you for training all of us. I appreciate that. Is there anybody else who has any board discussion? Okay, seeing I see no green lights. Yes, happy Valentine's Day. The chocolate was from me. I hope you have a good evening. Dates to remember. February 20th is the Washington's Day holiday. Schools and district offices are closed. February 28th is our next Board of Education meeting, which will be really exciting. There being no further business to come before the board, the regular meeting of February 14th, 2017, you'll be happy to hear, is adjourned at 7:54 p.m. I heard you all. I'm trying to